morning, it would be defeat or victory, your choice. Just drop that title. I mean, it ain't really a title, but I mean, how many knows victory's our choice? It's not God's choice. He's already chose it. I mean, I'm talking about victory in the marriage, victory in your finance. You don't have to stay where you're at. I don't have to stay where I'm at. You know, and I mean, as long as Jesus hadn't returned yet, we can grow. I don't care how long we've been in a Christian or ministry or marriage or, you know, place. You know, I'm believing God for increase. I believe God last year, the end of last year, that I would pay Travis double what I paid him this year, what I paid him last year. And he figured it up. And this is only a half a year. And I've done paid him almost in a half a year what I paid him last year for the whole year. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm believing God. I'm going to believe him to increase more and more. He says he'll do it. Psalms 112. Well, he said, even my children. He said he would increase me more and more. That don't just mean money. Spiritually, increase spiritually. You know, I mean, words are seeds, just like April's got it all over the house, whatever. And it's good that's a reminder to us if we do that kind of stuff. That's just a reminder to us. There's no power in that hanging there. The power is the reminder of what we're saying, because if we really believe that words are seed, I mean, I said something yesterday, and I had to repent. I told the Lord, I said, I'm sorry, Lord. I said, I was kind of going by feelings and what I felt like, Lord, and I repent right now for saying that. I just thank you, and I receive it. You know, well, you know, defeat or victory is my choice. I can choose to have victory, just like Satan. He's not going to play mind games with me. I don't talk to him. He sends thoughts to me. He tells me at times, you're defeated. He tells me at times and wants me to get into a conversation so that I'm more keen to his voice than I am the voice of the Holy Spirit. But I don't let he's not going to play, he played mind games with me up till I got born again. And I started learning, you know, that the Word of God is my answer. It's my answer in being free, because whom the Son set free, and he did it over 2,000 years ago, he set me free from the powers of darkness according to the Scripture. Now the Scripture is all the evidence that I need to know that he set me free from the powers of darkness. Now once I get that in my mind and in my spirit and in my heart, then I got to make a choice to not, for an example, me and my pastor's going down the road one day, and we're on the interstate. I was sitting over there, and he's driving. I said, you know, the devil been telling me you don't like me anymore. He got tight. I mean, you could just feel the atmosphere, man, like, oh, my God, you know. I said, but the good news is I quit listening to him a long time ago. See, now, I mean, you know, I was just kind of being funny, but he does that to people. I don't love me anymore. My wife don't love me anymore. I mean, and Satan, he plays mind games, you know, so that the choice of victory is not made by the believer, whatever area it is. And the Word of God is all the evidence that me and you need to know as Christians that we have already been given the victory over wherever we're at, wherever we're going, whatever he wants us to do. Victory has already been paid for and purchased. And the design that God has for our lives, you know, I mean, he knows everything in our life. from the time we get here till we leave here and what he wants us to do. And he full well plans on revealing that to us. But we have to make small choices along the way. And how many knows victory or defeat is in the decision making of every person? The more that I put God first, the more that I put the things of God important, the more that I put God first, I mean, every one of us are going to face putting God first at some point in our lives. You know, I mean, I do it a lot with money, my job. My job would demand me to work 7 days a week. It would put, you know, and the money will lead me to do it and start putting God on the back burner. Well, God understands my bills are due. God understands. See, now I'm choosing defeat. I don't care if I believe it or not. You can believe a lie. You can believe that you got to. Satan's a liar, and he is the father of it. And we only got to do the will of God. Now, we have to separate the will of God in the things of this world and determine that we're going to function in down here on this planet. We're going to function inside of the will of God. And we choose that. Well, I'm fixing to give you some scriptures. I've preached it here a lot. You know, the two foundations. There's two different kinds of people. There's two different kinds of Christians. They are Christians that are going to do the will of God. And they are going to have the victory. They are Christians that will want God in their finances and all of that. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I don't care. I'll say it again. But they're not going to have much victory. They're going to be oppressed. They're going to be always sick, always broke, always ain't got enough, always in a battle, always trouble going on, always. I mean, when you see that, if you see that happening in your life, I mean, trouble comes to my house, but not all the time. I rode the go-kart most day yesterday while the kids were skating. I mean, bless God, I just decided I'm going to have fun today. So I rode it with them up till y'all guys went skating. And then, you know, I went and stayed at the house, rested just a little bit, and I thought, I'm going to have fun. So I went and jumped on the go-kart and hit the road. Drove down the road, and then I come back, and I thought, well, I'm going to go up there and just make the trail a little bit better for them kiddos. And so I just up there by myself, just dusting up the place on the go-kart. Well, I mean, I got too much trouble going on. That's your trouble. See, Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Not like the world gives. Money don't give it to you. Drugs, alcohol, sex, none of that gives you this kind of peace that Jesus gives. None of it. None of it can give this peace here that we have. We can have trouble all around us and sing the song, Jimmy Crack Corn, and I don't care. Why? Because we are choosing victory over the trouble. See, it didn't take me very long after I started getting in the Word of God and listening to good ministers. You know, it didn't take me very long to find out that I must separate my emotions from my spiritual life. I can't be emotionally controlled. That's what caused me to get into a lot of trouble. That's what caused me, you know, to mess up jobs. That's what caused me to, you know, nearly get a divorce and, you know, not keep jobs. I was emotionally controlled. And and a big lie Satan will tell you is you can't help it. You'll have that thought, I just can't help it. I just can't help it. That thought didn't come from you. That thought come from the enemy because you can help it. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can help it. See, go ahead, Beth, put that up there. I'm going to cover a few things. Jesus is the first. Jesus has to be first concerning everything, and the Word is, He is the Word. We heard it in Sunday school. The Word has to have place in your decision making. And it needs to be the first thing you turn to and have final say. Bless God, I don't have to get a divorce. Well, what if Teresa leaves you? I won't have to get a divorce. She'll have to divorce me. I will never get a divorce. That is a decision that I made on based on the Word. See, I mean, I'm clear with it. The Word don't cause me to be frustrated. The Word gives me clear. Some have said it this way, some as David. He said, Lord, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. He didn't say, Lord, I read your Word, but I don't understand none of it. I read the Bible, but I don't understand it. You know what? That's the devil. Well, it's true, Brother Scott. I've heard it and heard it. Don't try to understand it. Just read it. You will never understand it in your own intellect. The Spirit makes it alive. Jesus said, my Word is Spirit and it is life. And that life is not, it's Zoe. It's supernatural. It's dynamic. It's powerful. And our mind can't really comprehend it. But boy, we can experience in our spirit. We can experience victory in here and ain't seen nothing out here. We can experience healing and it ain't got to us yet. But God, I mean, we can put the devil down. He'd still be screaming to our thoughts and we just keep telling, you are under my feet. Shut it up. See, right here, why call ye me Lord and do not the things which I say? Well, how do we know what he says? The Word, right? We know what he said. Now don't take this in negative. Oh, God, you know. No, we embrace the Word. We know the Word is not rules and laws and regulations. We know we have it in here that the Word of God is our freedom in Him. It tells us who He is. It tells us that we're kings and priests. It tells us that we're more than conquerors. It tells us we got to embrace that and we're doing what He says. Not just in the bad things that we need changed in our life. That too. But I mean in the things that we need to be saying out of our mouth. Just like little Aiden. I mean, there's just something about him. They're both special and precious, and I love both of them. And I mean, but there's something different on the spiritual side about Aiden. There's just something different. I see it. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it'll be. I don't know what he'll be. But there's something about him that is just like the. I mean, it's he's not ashamed. I mean, up here, well. I mean, he throws his legs and crosses them while I'm watching him. Well, you know, my feet, they hurt, and I don't know if I sit down somewhere at home, feel quit hurting or whatever, you know, and that's what I'm saying. You know, then come on up here and anoint him and, you know, see, the Word's working in him. The Word is working in me. I'm seeing the evidence of a no-quit dogmatic that these grandchildren, that they're my descendants and they're going to be blessed. And I won't back off. Told Aubrey the other day, I told her, I said, you got one quarter. You got the first quarter of school to do some changing. I said, you're going to tighten up. I said, are they going to go, you're going to have to go see that geek. I shouldn't have said geek to her. I said, they're going to try to get in your head and figure you out. I said, so you got one quarter. I said, and Jesus is going to help you. The Holy Spirit is going to help you. And you need to depend on the hope. She's only seven. I'm going to tell her just like I do a grown-up. She understands it. I don't understand how the Holy Spirit works and everything. I don't have to. No. It just does. Right? You know, and so I told her, I said, you're not going to have to go see none of that. What am I doing? My words are what? Seeds. So if I know my words are seeds, then I must plant that word. I must plant that encouraging word. I must plant that, and it's in line with the Word of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. She can't understand me quoting scriptures right now. You got to speak to your own life. Hallelujah. I always do the things that pleases the Lord. Now, I know that I don't all the time, but I'm going to have that confession that I'm getting better at it, Lord. I'm getting better at it and better at it and better at it, obeying you, putting you first. They went one time, Travis, she wanted to toughen Travis. Teresa wanted to toughen Travis up, so she goes and puts him in football. And she'd give him a couple Tylenol before practice. You know, 30 minutes before practice where he gets his head banged, he gets a headache, and Tylenol help him get rid of it. Well, they called up one day, and I said, okay. I said, okay. I said, but we will never put sports before Jesus. I said, if it gets in the way of church, I will shoot it down. I will pull him out. We will not put nothing in his life because that fun and game is going to last for a year or three, and his life is going to be impacted in us putting things before God, before him. And that's going to impact him. And so, sure enough, it wasn't too long down the road. I think it might have been Chris Courtney. I don't know who was coach, but anyway. They sent word home that going to practice on Wednesday evening, after school, whatever it was. And so, we're not having that. So Teresa sends word, Travis goes to church. And Travis won't be there on Wednesday night. And you know what? That never happened again. But we had to make a choice. Because we knew that God's people, I mean, take what I'm saying, like, it really don't matter. We want our kids to have fun. No, we want our kids to be successful. Then they'll have fun. I mean, they can have fun if they're successful. Then they can enjoy the go-karts. I mean, I bought them kids. I went and bought me one. Told you I'm going to get me one. Now they want it. And I'm like, no. I'm having to ride Aiden's go-kart yesterday with a siren. I kind of enjoyed it because he wanted to test drive that, you know. Pulled up there and he said, Papa, I need to test drive that. I said, well, why don't you just jump on there and test drive it? He said, he got on there. And he can't even sit back. I mean, he's up here, you know. And I said, where's the gas? He shows me. Where's the brakes? He shows me. I said, okay, go on. And he goes off, you know. Well, later on up there, he said, Aubrey says, Papa, why did you buy a pink one? Now, you know why she's asking that? Mm-hmm. See, I'm smarter than that. I said, well, that just happened to be the color, baby, that it is. I said, and she said, I said, before you say anything, I said, you and Aiden are trying to take my ride. I said, now look. I said, this one is Aiden's, and he's going off on mine. And I said, this one is Aiden's. Yours is the four-wheeler down there. I said, this is mine. I said, I got it where I could ride with y'all. Not y'all ride mine. You know. Oh, okay, Papa. I really like my four-wheeler because it's so cool. I said, it is. You ride it. And Aiden's going. So Aiden comes down there and said, hey, Shut it off a minute. I said, let's get something clear. I said, you're on my ride. Mine. Well, Aubrey got a bunch more. I said, I don't care how many turns Aubrey got. I said, well, what I got to see, now I'm setting things in motion in their life now. Be satisfied with your go-kart. Be satisfied with your four-wheeler. And don't want mine because that's mine. That's covetousness. See, it's not about those little kids. It's about their mindset. It's about their heart. It's about, you know, and these things that me and you have. Some Christians are grown bodily, and they don't know how to apply these little bitty things that I'm telling you right now that causes destruction in their kids and their grandkids. Not going to happen on my watch. Not at my house. That's what he was talking about. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I believe it was Jeremiah. He said, and why call you me Lord and do not the things which I say? And you know what? It's one thing that is clear to me that I have a revelation of is that my God is faithful. He's faithful because I used to be concerned, well, God, what if your people's just ignorant and they're getting defeated? And what if they ain't got no teaching and they're getting defeated? And he let me go on and he said, did you not know that I'm faithful? He said, I am faithful. He said, I will not let not one Christian go into captivity, into defeat, and them not know it. Now, you can slap that word down when it comes. You can just forget it. He can tell, you can say, well, you know, God understands. You make excuses, but you will not be ignorant because God's faithful. And I'm telling you that for a reason. You need to know that yourself, that God, that, and we don't have to be concerned about all these people out here. Well, what if they just don't know the will of God? They will know the will of God. They will know you're supposed to go to church. They will know. They will know that you don't put, they will know that I don't put garage doors my job before Jesus. I will know that I don't put my wife before God. I don't put my kids before God. If my wife tries to get me to do things that I know outside of the will of God, even though it might not be bad, I'm not going with her. I'm going to serve Him. See, I know that if I do that, then I've got heaven backing me up. I've got the anointing. I've got the Holy Spirit. I've got the angels of God. I've got the power of God's Word. And I know that this world will let me down, but He is a faithful God. He said, whosoever come to me, hears these sayings and what? Does them. I will show you to whom he is like. I was thinking about, I wished I could preach the sermon that I heard Keith Moore preach about Terry Trial and Vic Victory. I mean, I butcher it, but I mean, it's so clear in the message that he preached of defeated Christians and victory Christians. I mean, victory Christians do. They go to church. I mean, some of y'all are listening out there in your living room. Don't get mad when I say that stuff. Wake up. If you're able to go to... My mama, I had to help my mama to the car and put her a recliner in here. She wanted to go to church. I made provision. I've told people I'll make provision for you. If I need a cot, people's told me, well, I'm down my back. You know, my back hurts and I can't sit. I said, well, stand up. You know, if you need a cot to, you know, lay down on, we'll get you one. We will accommodate your ailments until you get healed, see? But staying out, see, out from under the anointing, somebody, I mean, you know, Travis, he's got a fireplace channel on his TV. You know? And it sounds like wood burning, and he turned it on, and he told the kids to start with. He said, whoo, feel that? And they're like, yeah, it's hot. Ain't nothing coming out of that heat. That's a TV, man. You know? but you know what? That fireplace right there is nothing compared to a real one. You get in front of a real one, you feel the heat. You feel it. You can smell the good hickory burning, you know, the firewood and all of that, you know. That's the way church is. You can sit at home and watch it, but it's kind of like having a fake fireplace. Now, God makes exceptions for people that cannot. Really can't. They really can't. They're whatever their case is. Now they he'll hook them up and he'll give a special anointing for that preacher that he'll hook them up. He'll just hook them up. He's hooked me and Teresa up, but not to replace church. I mean, he's hooked us up. Me and Teresa have been so blessed with God hooking us up with the Word of God because of our dedication to Him in the things that we know to be the will of God. And so he said that, he said here, here's these sayings, I will show you who he's like. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, when your light bill comes due and it's double, when you get a $300 water bill extra, when your car tears up, when the devil comes in like a flood, hallelujah. I mean, when all hell seems to be coming against you to destroy you, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about life here. He's talking about things coming against you. He's talking about things coming against your marriage. He's talking about things coming against your finances, hallelujah. He's talking about things coming against your mind. He digged deep in the foundation on the rock. And when the floods arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house. There's been times in my life when the trial lasted a few hours. There's been times in my life when the trial lasted a week or so. There's been times in my life when the trial went on for a year or so. There's been times in my life where it went on for a few years. Heated trials. And just kept coming. Something else on top of it. Something else on top of it. And in the middle of it, I would have Travis come to me one time. I asked the Lord to help me buy. I wanted a brand new wood heater. Heat my house. I still do it. I still burn wood, man. You know, I like it. But anyway, I mean, we're strapped on every corner, and he knew it. And God opened the door, and God gave me a brand new one. And Travis asked me, he said, Dad, how did you get that heater? I said, God. He knew it was God. I knew it was God. I knew it was God. That's why I'm saying, when we're doing what he says and these things come and we're going to church. See, let me just write you down some stuff. I wasn't going to preach this. I'm going to preach on how to be blessed, and this is how to do it. The Lord said, I want you to preach on them too. He said, because how you get blessed is you embrace my word. You embrace my will. You find out what my will is and you set out at all costs to do my will. This person applies the word that they, you know. I mean, you can sit in church and not apply it. Monty has been telling us. Now he's changed and he's changing. But he's been in it all his life around the gospel. Been in around the word. He know to go to church. You know to tithe. You know all of that stuff. And the next group of folk over there, he says, and he that hears these sayings and don't do them, I'll liken you to a man that built a foundation on the sand. That means it's not going to hold. It's not going to hold together. Your life is not going to hold together. Your life is going to be in a wreck. Your life is going to be a mess. I didn't say it. Jesus did. Jesus, now he's not saying these things for to get on to us. His spirit, his word is spirit and life. His word is not to condemn. His word is to bring life and light to us and revelation so that we are on a foundation in our life that will not crumble. Will not. this person applies the Word of God to their life, this is what he does. He says, what's he talking about? Here's these sayings of mine. Jesus was teaching them before he told them this. He was teaching them to love their enemies. Come on, somebody. He was teaching them, forgive, so your heavenly Father will forgive you. See, they work on loving their enemies. These hearers that do, the hearers that don't, they don't work on it. They get vengeance on their enemy. They want vengeance. But the ones that are doing it, they're going to do it, they work on loving their enemies. The Lord told me one time, I read it and he said, love your enemies. I shut that Bible. I didn't like it. See, a lot of times when God is bringing change to us, we don't like what we hear. We don't like what we read. We don't like what he's saying to us because it is challenging us. It is challenging our actions. It is challenging, but the challenge is taking us higher, though. The challenge is getting us on solid ground. When these storms come and these floods come and these trials come and it can't move it. It can't destroy that. I can't be destroyed. I believe it with everything in me, but God, as long as I hang on to Jesus, stay in a right spirit, stay on the Word of God, stay in faith, victory, oh, victory is mine. Victory. I won't put my job before the Lord. I won't put my wife. I won't put you before the Lord. I won't. I won't put my wife before the Lord. I won't do it. I won't put my grandkids before the Lord. And if I start doing that, he is faithful to me to show me, whether it comes through Monty or whether it comes through Johnny or whether it comes through Teresa. A lot of times it comes through her, the one I don't want it to come through. But it don't matter. God's faithful to me. He's faithful to you. He's faithful. I mean, he's telling people all the time. I feel it really, really, really strong every time I preach to bring up going to church, because we live in a generation that is at church. We live in a generation. My pastor's Jensen Franklin. And you're over here in Alabama, lives right beside us here at church. We living in a generation where God is telling God, you know, the ones of y'all that are listening to, you know, maybe, and you're able to go to a local church, but you won't fast and pray. See, people that's going to do the will of God, they fast and ask the Lord, what's your will? Where do you want me to be? Do you want me to change jobs or not? And if he says no, even though it's hard, I'm not changing. You know what? Their job will pan out. Their life will pan out. Why? Because they're not foolish. They're acknowledging the Lord. But you know what? People that's saying that, you know, my pastor, well, why don't you just ride over to Georgia and be in service with them this morning? I'm on somebody, name it 2.5 hours. I drive 5 for the beach. Right? I drive 5 and spend $3,000. Come on, somebody, and I won't go to church and tithe. I go to Tennessee and spend $6,000. Entertainment center of the world, I think, up there. Woo! Talking about get robbed, go to Tennessee. Take your 2 grandkids or kids with you. They want everything. They ain't got nothing, and it's not fair. Make you feel guilty, suck that wallet right dry for you. You come back, God, Lord, I knew I shouldn't have went over there. Good, Lord Almighty, I knew it wasn't the will of God. I got robbed every way, and I feel awful. You know how come I know that? I have done it. But God, if God tells me don't go on vacation, I ain't going. I'll be happy sitting in the backyard in the hot sun because I'm in the will of God. Right? But, you know, if your pastor's Jensen, why don't you just drive over there every Sunday morning? Bless God, it'll cost you 2.5 hours. to get there. So you're going to have to get up and get ready 3 hours before church. Well, he's not really my pastor. We didn't think so. You just don't want to go to church. Well, we didn't think so. We didn't believe it when he said it. We didn't think God would actually ask you to drive 3 hours. He has done it. We'll do it if it's what he wants. If he needs somebody obedient that'll do what he says against the grain that he's going to raise up and change this world for him, hallelujah, he will ask them to do things that are out of the ordinary, that is really tough on them, but they're willing to trust in him and do it. I went on vacation one time in Gunnerville, and I was up there on vacation, and they wanted me to preach down in Coleman. I'm on vacation. Like, God, I'm going to tell them I'm on vacation. The Lord said, I thought you was willing to obey me. I'm in Gunnerville on vacation, man, once a year. And I think I've never even been on vacation other than one or two times. You know what I did? I fasted and prayed and got ready for the service. Like, God, and I went down there and drove all the way to Coleman down there and preached. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I've never had to be put to the test whether I put vacation before you or not, but I didn't. I'm not going to do it, Lord. I'm going to put you first. And you know what, praise God, it seemed like after that every vacation I went on was great. I'm like, glory to God, you can get the victory even in that. But you know, those that do the word, those that embrace the word, they work on loving their enemies. They meditate the word. They meditate. They see, you're going to meditate on something. Satan used to get me meditating Monday about not coming to church Wednesday. Monday. Something had happened Monday. I'm not going to church Wednesday. I'm telling you right now, I just ain't going, bless God. I'm like, what's that got to do with Wednesday? This is Monday. They meditate the word. Mind stayed on the word. The Bible says he will keep your hearts in peace whose mind is stayed on him because we trust him. We purpose to trust the Lord. We keep our mind on the word of God. I mean, it's tough whenever you first start out. I mean, I used to be like, he said, love your wife as Christ so loved. I thought, God, mighty no. That's going to be a miracle. Love her like Jesus did the church. You know, Mac said something yesterday out there. I come around and I said, hey, there comes Sergeant. Everybody looked and it was Teresa. I said, there comes Sergeant. Like any. And I said, and said something. Mac said something. I said, I know. I said, 38 years. 38 years? Oh, Jesus! Whoo! He couldn't imagine being married to Teresa 38 years. Oh, Jesus, he said. That was funny, man. I said, she gonna make a man out of you yet, Mac? See, I have fun with it because I'm going to love her like Christ loved the church, whether I want to or not. Praise God. Well, these on the rock try to do this. They start putting it, practicing it. You know what? I did that loving my enemies, and I can tell you right now, but God, I got to pray and seen one of them heal. Seen somebody heal that I hated, I would have shot them one day and be glad they're gone. And I worked on that scripture, praise God, and that wasn't the only one. I'd made a lot of enemies and didn't like a lot of people, you know. But I started, see, I wanted to be on the rock. I didn't want to be moved anymore by anger and hatred and all of that. Why? Because I'm born again. See, your born again man wants to do the will of God. That's why you don't feel good not doing it. You understand that? Your inner man wants to do the will of God. That is why you don't feel good when you're not trying to do the will of God. It's calling grieving the Holy Spirit. They meditate the word. I can tell you right now, Joshua over there changed my life. When I seen that in there and God spoke to me, he said, meditate. He told Joshua, he said, meditate on my word day and night. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. And I sat there and I said, you didn't say you would make him prosperous, Lord. I mean, it just dawned on me. That wasn't dawned on me. That was the Holy Ghost revealing something in there to me. And he said, the Lord spoke, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, no, because I was with Joshua. He said, and I'm with you. He said, I'm with my people. He said, now meditate on my word day and night, then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. I meditated on that, and I don't have to go to the Bible. I know what it is. Joshua 1a, I know, and I know what it says, and it's in here, it's not here, I know it up here, but I wasn't all that good in reading. Now, arithmetic, I can count money. But reading, I hated spelling and reading and all of that stuff, you know, but when it comes to that Bible, it's not, it to me, this Bible right here is not a read. This Bible has changed my life. Continues to do it. But anyhow, these on the rock, if you want your life on the rock, go to church. Make up your mind you're going to be faithful and planted in the house of God so you will flourish. See what the word says? I want to flourish. I'm going to flourish. I'm going to be faithful to the house of God. I thought this morning, you know what, man? I don't have to go to Sunday school. I'm not preaching Sunday school. You know, I could stay at home just a little longer. Take me a little nap after eat breakfast just a little longer. I get up, cook breakfast, study a little while, and take a little nap, get up, and come on to church. And I thought, you know, I'm not preaching, so, you know, I don't have to go to Sunday school. And the Lord said who? Who said that? Who would tell you not to go to church? Wouldn't be the Holy Spirit. Lady one time wasn't going to church, you know, and I said, we've been missing you at church. Well, I've been feeling led to stay home and fast and pray. And I said, you're feeling led, are you? I said, you're real special. I said, you're more special than the whole body of Christ. I said, there ain't nobody in the Bible been led contrary to the Word of God like you are. I said, you're being led by a demon. I said, you expect me to bite that bullet when the Bible is contrary to what you just said? Now I'm trying to help you out here. He's drugged you out of church because you're spiritual. You're dead. Y'all shocked that I would say that? Well, why would you want to lie to them? You poor little thing. I know you're going through so much at home. Oh, you've got to have a spiritual vacation. Oh, you hear that in the church? I just need a vacation from the church. You ain't even been in a month. Satan done got you started before you even got here. You don't need a vacation from spiritual things. We need to dive on into the Word. I mean, the stronger we get in the Word with our relationship with the Lord, the stronger this world loses its grip on us. It loses its pull on us. It loses its power on us. Money loses its power on us. Demons lose their power. I mean, you know, why? Because we're built on a foundation that can't crumble. Jesus being the chief cornerstone. So if y'all out there ain't going to church, go to church. I hope Jensen Franklin gets on it and don't get off of it. I'm going to believe him that T.D. Jakes gets on it, and every time you turn him on, he's going to blast you about going to church. Because God loves you and knows that you will flourish if you will get planted. Satan knows he will have you scattered, broke, weak, sick, and oppressed if you don't He is a deceiver. They practice forgiving people. The Bible says forgive. So you don't know what they did to me. Oh, people do something to me all the time. I forgive them before they do it. That way when they do it, they done been forgiven. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Right? Well, I saw me like a duck one time. I was out, I was going somewhere, and it was winter time. And I was going down the road, and I looked out there, and these ducks were out in the middle of this pond, and it was barely wasn't froze, you know, I mean, really cold. And they're just going down and shaking it off and all of that. And the Lord says, you can be like that duck. I thought, be like that duck. He said that the elements are not even affecting them. He said, I've equipped them. He said, I equipped those ducks to swim underwater and catch fish in the wintertime. He said, their elements are not even affecting them. He said, if you will make up your mind and be a doer of the Word of God, an embracer of the Word of God, he said, your elements won't be able to affect you like they don't the duck. So I thought, I'm a duck. Quack, quack, quack. I'm like a duck, man. I've renewed my mind to it. I've been given all spiritual blessings. Don't the Bible say it? He said, we've been given all spiritual blessings. He said he gives us all things richly to enjoy, right? Have we been given everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness in Christ Jesus? So I had to renew my mind. That he showed me in that natural realm that this with those ducks, that spiritually in the spirit realm, there is a place that we're hid. Then he began to give me scripture. The Bible says, take the shield of faith. I realized that faith was a shield against sickness and disease. Faith was a shield against oppression. The Lord told me one time, he said, you never, never have to be spiritually dry. Never. And I said, Lord, I need some scriptures for that. Because I'd heard it. People, I'm just in the desert. I'm just going through dry places. No, you ain't. You walking in dried up buttholes. Turn around and go back to the water. The Bible says that we can draw out of the wells of salvation. Jesus told the woman at the well, you can drink this natural water, then you will thirst again. But you drink this water here, this water that I give you, this anointed water, this anointing, you will never thirst again. I ain't been spiritually dry, praise God, because of Jesus in 20 years. When I found out that I didn't have to go to dry places in here. I found out the joy of the Lord. See, we say it, the joy of the Lord, my strength, but God. And then you go out there and they don't promote you. Well, I'm telling you right now, I deserve it. I thought the joy of the Lord was your strength. See, you ain't believing what you're saying. Hallelujah. Got to go deeper. See, to get the word revelation usually don't come until you decide to do it. That's how come people, they mental assent don't do it. I know I need to love my wife, but no. I know I need to go to church, but no. No. That's how come there's not a revelation in there. You've not got it settled yet to where it comes alive in you, where you will quit your job before you won't go to church. Come on, somebody. They don't tithe. These people on the rock tithe. They practice. Somebody told me one time, well, you just don't know how hard it is. I said, I know, I started doing it too. Well, tell me that. I hated giving. I hated it. It took from me. And I've had Christians, well, I ain't never had a problem with it, really. Yeah, God told you to give $50 to a ministry 15 years ago and you just couldn't understand why he did. Yeah, that's the same thing. The Bible says a generous soul shall be made fat. I had a guy one time, well, I give to my family. No, we're not talking about your family. You got a big family. Right? The Lord had me to give everything I had to a wino on the side of the street one time. He told me, he said, I thought you was going to obey me. I said, Lord, this is all I got to eat all week. It's all Teresa let me have. $10 a week budget. I mean, can you imagine that? Man, I buy a hamburger, a hamburger sandwich and a Coke, and it's $9 right now. I had $10 a week. $10 a week. Lord told me to give it away. See, what was happening is that I was being challenged of the word that I knew. The word was testing me. You know, it says the generous soul shall be made fat. Oh, I give to everybody, but not that guy. Wino on the side of the road. See, God will take you out of just giving to your kids because you're giving out of a natural love. Take you out here where it's going to cost you and they don't deserve it. That's when you know you've embraced the Word of God because you don't question anymore. You say, I know the Lord wants me to be generous. I know He wants me to be a giver. But this place is going to put you financially stable. Tithing. Those that hear and don't do, they're building on sand. You know, their foundation is going to crumble financially. You let one thing happen in somebody that ain't trusting the Lord, that's got a good, stable job, good income coming in, and something come and bust that thing, and I'm telling you, they lose their identity. A lot of people commit suicide on account of it. Now, bless God, everything they thought they trusted Jesus in has done left. And they are left on the ruin. Great is going to be the fall of that house. I didn't write it, but I'm trying to preach it best I can. I'm trying to relay it best I can, you know, because I'm called to it. And I'll stand before God if I don't preach it to this church the way that it is. Hallelujah. If you ain't a tither, get with it. Get with it. Put Him first. And then you may own where you're at. They practice forgiving people. They go to church regularly. I mean, we got people, you know, here we've got rules. One guy quit because I'm a dictator. Quit because I had a certain way that we pray for people when we deliver the food and everything. And I become a dictator and he quit church and everything because he ain't going to be told what to do. We wasn't telling him what to do. Trying to get them people healed. Well, you know what that means? You can't lay around and be lazy about your own prayer life and have anything in faith when you get to them. Come on, somebody. Got to get in that word. Even in a little food ministry. You got to have your mind stayed on the Lord. Because you're going to meet a bunch of demons out there. We're going to bring some demons in next month. We're going back. We're taking ground. We're bringing them in, praying for them. So all of y'all in ministries, get ready to stay longer. Golly, Mom, this blowing my whole Saturday. Amen. No, it ain't blowing it. Amen. You just don't know the benefits that that Saturday's going to bring you. It's going to bring you kingdom stuff. It's going to bring you kingdom strength. It's going to bring you kingdom authority. It's going to bring you promotion in the kingdom realm. And you're going to be laying up crowns up yonder. Hallelujah. I used to want ministry till I realized ministry was work. Dude. I wanted ministry because my mindset of ministry was this, right here. Boy, I didn't know some of them was going to come in with diapers and training panties. And I mean, I didn't know bottles with mustaches. And I mean, I didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't know they're going to be full grown up here. And I mean, you need to push them in here and give them a little tricycle. I didn't know all that. I didn't know. I mean, we were out there yesterday, me and Johnny straightening up people, you know, and everything. And I told that one lady, I said, you know, I said, I think people have got their driving skills and knowledge from the Cracker Jack box. So I went back there and I told that lady, I said, you see that van? I mean, sitting, we got two lines. It's very clear. Park the cross. Sitting on one, sitting on top of the cone when we get down here. Aiden knows better than that. He's five, you know. And she didn't want to open the door, holding the door. And I said, oh, no. I pulled the door open reluctantly. And something to talk to you, lady. I said, you see that van right there? Yeah, I said, you need to be in line.
I'm in line.
I said, no, you're not in line. I said, there's two lines. You're taking up both of them. I started to say, what are you afraid she's going to get there before you do? Man, look, it's only a minute. Minute and a half. I said, listen. I said, when this line moves, I said, you fall in line behind that van. Well, you all got driver's license. I'm not going to pet you. Come on, somebody. That's what's wrong with this generation. Don't want no. I started to tell her, you need me today, lady, because you ain't nothing but full of rebellion. And I'm here, I'm under God here to help you with that rebellious attitude you got to learn how to function here in this earth, because you're not the only one on this planet. I'm not privileged, man. If they break in line, when I'm getting, they do. They'll come slap around in the turn lane because they know you're fixing to pull in and get gas and cut in front of you. I've had them do it, and I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to backslide right quick. But, God, they won't never do it. Lord, I'm going to help them learn to don't never do nobody like that again. And the Lord's like, I thought you'd forgive them. I'll go around. No, wait. I mean, won't let me go around. Everything else is empty. I got to wait behind him. You know what God's doing? He's getting rid of that attitude I got. He's getting rid of that in me that has the potential to destroy me. I've got to stop. I've enjoyed myself. See, these on the rock, they practice tithing. They practice giving. They ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to give? Where do you want me to give? God, what are anybody you want me to help, God? But they're in this place. The ones that don't, that hear and don't do, they don't practice giving. They don't tithe. They don't go to church. You're in this Bible. Luke 6, what is it? See, y'all that can't see the screen, get your Bible off your coffee table and go to Luke 6, 46 through 48 and see which one you are. And I don't mean that in an ungodly way. God is not, he's not going to play with lives. Praise God. And so I want to encourage you. Practice these things. Put them into practice. That is building your life solid, so that when life comes your way, that it don't bring, and you'll also shine as lights in this earth, and your life will be an example, a testimony. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you, and Lord, we just thank you today. We thank